Hello and welcome to the Bloomington Pantograph on Monday, February 11th. This is Susan Over. We will begin this section with Monday Mammals. Garden plot registration opens. Normal. Registration dates have been set for the Town of Normal's two organic community gardens. Normal residents may register at 8:30 a.m. on March 12th, which is a Tuesday, and non-residents at 8:30 a.m. on March 14th, both at the Normal Parks and Recreation Office located at 100 East Phoenix Avenue. The community gardens are at 1 Normal Plaza, 1110 Douglas Street, and also at Ironwood Park, 1900 North Linden Street. Each site has a variety of plot sizes available for $15 to $35. Garden plots are limited to one per family. Open garden plots are assigned on a first-come, first-served basis. Gardeners may renew their plot from last season. Deadline for renewal is on February 28th, which is a Thursday, at the Parks and Recreation Office. Gardens will be tilled and prepared by the town. Participants may begin gardening on April 6th. All plots must be cleared by November 4th. More information and gardening rules and regulations are available at normalparks.org/community gardens. normalparks.org/community gardens. Relief Sale hosts documentary, Bloomington. The Illinois Mennonite Relief Sale Board is hosting Is There a Lesson? 45 Years on the Anabaptist Trail with John Ruth. It is a documentary by John L. Ruth of Harleysville, Pennsylvania, at 6 p.m. this Sunday at the First Mennonite Church of Morton. Admission is free. A free will offering will be taken to benefit, Mennonite Central Committee through the Illinois Mennonite Relief Sale. The Illinois Relief Sale is set for March 15th and 16th. That's a Friday and Saturday, at the Interstate Center in Bloomington. End of articles. Council Candidate Forums Plan, Normal. Candidates for City Council in Bloomington and Normal will face off at a pair of public forums before the April 2nd election. Residents are invited to attend and submit questions for discussions on March 7th in the Old Main Room at Illinois State University's Bone Student Center for Normal Candidates. And March 7th is a Thursday. And then on March 19th at the ISU Alumni Center for Bloomington candidates. And March 19th is a Tuesday. Both events are being held from 6 till 7:30 p.m. and they will be available live on 89.1 FM, WGLT.org, and WGLT's Facebook page. Those doors will open at 5:30 p.m. The forums are sponsored by WGLT and League of Women Voters of McLean County. The Pantograph is a co-sponsor of the Normal Forum and will develop and ask questions. 9 candidates are vying for 3 seats in Normal, where each council member represents the entire town in an at-large system. They are R.C. McBride, Dave Shields, Stan Nord, Kathleen Lorenz, Karen Smith, Pat Turner, Alex Campbell, Joel Studebaker, and Carla Sila, a write-in candidate. Bloomington has contested races in Ward 2, where Georgine Chisel and Donna Bolin are running. In Ward 4, Don Chip Frank and Julie Emig. And in Ward 6, Jen Carrillo and Karen Schmidt. End of article. Veterans Corner. Veterans of Foreign Wars Post 454 will host a February 15th fundraiser to benefit the Special Olympics Summer Games, which are held at Illinois State University. That is this Friday. The fundraiser will be at the Post on Lincoln Street in Bloomington. It will include live music from the local band, The Bygones. The pop-up chicken shop will offer fish or chicken dinners. There will be no cover charge, but donations will go to the fundraiser. Food and music begin at 7:30 p.m. and run until 10:30 p.m. End of article. Heartland Bank promotes Shearer to Chief Credit Officer. Bloomington. Heartland Bank and Trust Company proudly announces Mark Shearer, S-C-H-E-I-R-E-R, has been promoted to Chief Credit Officer. Shearer joined the bank in 2011. He has served as Senior Credit Officer for the last 5 years. He is highly involved in all aspects of credit administration and is responsible for managing the bank's credit quality. Shearer has over 25 years of banking and financial experience. He is a graduate of the University of Illinois with a degree in finance and completed the Graduate School of Banking at the University of Wisconsin. A Metamora native, he currently has 2 grown children. End of article. Names and faces. Bloomington. 2 Bloomington residents recently graduated from Kansas State University. Jagrup Sandhu received a Bachelor of Science and Ashley Wiegang received a Bachelor of Science in Education. Secondary honors. Normal. A team of middle school mathletes from Chittix Junior High School in Normal took top honors at the ISPE Bloomington Chapter Math Counts Competition. The top individual was Sidhu Bumpelli, a junior high student from Evans Junior High School in Bloomington. Members of the winning team were Jack Spies, Aditya Sathamurthy, Shridip Gadad, and Gokul Balaji. That team will advance to the state competition in March in Naperville. The second place team was from Parkside Junior High in Normal, and the third place team was from Bloomington Junior High. Miscellaneous, Home and Aid, Bloomington. 3 members have been added to the Advisory Board for Children's Home and Aid Central Region. They are Jessica McDermott, Actuarial and Analyst with Country Financial, Jeff Kerner, Senior Vice President of Agency at Country Financial, and Chris Klein, Central Illinois District Sales Director at Mutual of Omaha Financial Advisors. End of article. Workshop tackles tough topics. Teachers explore ways to approach issues in the classroom. Normal. It is a challenging time to be a teacher. Quote, we live in a polarized society right now, said Sarah Piotrowski, who works with Teachers of Tomorrow in the History Social Science program at ISU. It seems to be you're either left or right. There's kind of no center anymore. End quote. To learn how to navigate that society, 350 social studies teachers from across Illinois and a few from out of state spent the weekend at ISU to develop their educational toolkits and learn how to introduce controversial topics into their classrooms. During the Saturday workshop, Christine Frailing, a teaching fellow from Brown University, led a discussion on teaching about contested issues, the choices approach, immersing teachers in the issues about U.S. immigration policy and parts of the Civil War. Quote, the choices approach is getting students to kind of look at options and how could the history be seen in different ways. Then students debate and discuss different options, said conference organizer Monica Norain, Associate Professor of History at ISU. About 25 high school, middle school, and student teachers participated in the session. Noah Shulp, a social studies teacher at Ridgeview High School in Colfax, said, discussing complicated issues with his students is essential to help them understand the world they live in. You have to talk about it, and you have to understand what you might be facing as you go out there, he said. The students that you work with, sometimes they may have certain set ideas. You want to challenge those. You want to get, oh my gosh, I had no idea about X, Y, or Z. Hunter Watts, an ISU student teacher who works at Normal Community West High School, said, being able to deliberate over conflicting views is an essential lesson for students. It is really important to teach students how to discuss these things, how to be open to new perspectives, how to build their own arguments, and evaluate evidence so they can make an informed decision, Watts said. Multifaceted lessons which stick with students drew student teachers like Watts and Caitlin Smith, who work at University High School, into the discipline. It is not just a 50-minute lesson, Smith said. It is something they are going to remember when they decide their major in college, and then when they're deciding their outlook on life after college. It's a bigger sense than just something to talk about in the classroom, or what they're going to have on their exam. Teachers practice developing creative lesson plans at the workshop using visuals, hashtags, and social media or skits. The Choices curriculum kind of speaks to our two goals. One is for our students or very young teachers to be successful now, but also we want them to be successful 25 to 30 years down the road. We are, in many ways, preparing them for schools that don't even yet exist, said Richard Hughes, an associate professor of history at ISU. The Choices program teaches students how to deliberate and how to weigh evidence and have a civil discussion. That's not something that's modeled very much in our society anymore, he said. Some teachers may shy from political or value-laden topics like diversity because they did not learn that way as students, Norayan said. We know the methods of the past do not reach every student learner, so we are hoping by engaging different strategies and content that we're going to really reach the needs of all of our student learners and prepare them for this century, she said. End quote, end of article. Family okay after car crashes into home, charges pending against the driver. Normal. A man was injured early Saturday when his car ran off a Normal Street and into the living room of a house. It was a wake-up call like no other for Seth Bogus and his wife, Natasha Warlow, when the incident occurred about 2 a.m. Saturday. Police on Saturday afternoon did not identify the driver, but said he continued to be treated at a hospital for non-life-threatening injuries. No one in the house was hurt. Bogus told the Pantograph he and his wife and two children were sleeping in bedrooms in the rear of their home at 113 North Blair Drive in Normal, when he said he was awakened by the sound of a crash. Quote, we heard a loud crash, Bogus said. We got the kids up and got out of the house. Normal fire units arrived on the scene almost immediately because their station is only two blocks away, said Warlow. That's why I like living here. They are really close, she said. When the family was leaving the home, Bogus realized the car had damaged the house's natural gas service. When the car went into the house, it took out the gas meter on the outside, he said. We got the kids out of the house so fast because natural gas was pouring into the house. I was fearful of an explosion. The car, a late model Ford sedan, had been headed north on Blair when it swerved across the center line. The car went over the curb and another 100 feet before crashing through some small trees and lodging itself almost entirely inside Bogus's living room. Police said charges were pending against the driver. The cause of the incident remains under investigation. When we got out of the house, firefighters were already working to rescue the driver, he said. The car was entirely covered with building debris inside their house. Firefighters uncovered the car, end quote, and rescued the driver, who was trapped, said a Normal firefighter on the scene. Wrecker operations from Joe's Towing and Recovery had their hands full trying to figure out how to remove that car from the house. The car had flown about 3 feet off the ground before plunging inside the frame structure. Operators pulled the car sideways and backed it out of the house, using two cables from two separate tow trucks. The car sustained relatively little damage. The hole in the wall of the structure measured about 5 feet by 8 feet. Normal firefighters checked for gas leaks before leaving the scene. End of article. Public safety, Bloomington. Two people are accused of possessing a stolen car and using a fake check to buy another car. Marquise Emery and Kiera Emery, both 22, are charged with possessing or selling a stolen vehicle, a Class 2 felony, and the forgery and theft by deception, both Class 3 felonies. Court documents say the pair met a man in order to buy his car. They gave him a fake check. When police later pulled over both cars for speeding, they found the initial car to have been reported stolen from Indiana, and Kiera Emery in possession of a glue stick. Meanwhile, a county deputy had determined the fake check had scissor marks on the edge and was, in fact, two pieces of paper glued together. Both were jailed in lieu of $5,035 each. End of article. Two arrested in attempted holdup, Bloomington. A 20-year-old Normal man and a Bloomington teenager were arrested last Friday in connection with the attempted holdup of a Downs gas station last month, McLean County Sheriff John Sandage announced. Joseph D. Matthews, was charged Saturday with attempted armed robbery with a firearm. The juvenile faces a preliminary charge of attempted armed robbery. His status was unclear on Saturday. Matthews was jailed in lieu of $250,035. Court documents indicate the juvenile told authorities he went into the gas station with the gun and that Matthews stayed in the car. Sheriff's deputies were called at 9:53 p.m. on January 20th to the mobile gas station at 405 South Seminary Street in Downs. A man produced a firearm and demanded money, but fled the scene before obtaining anything of value, police said. The sheriff's deputy pursued a vehicle believed to be fleeing the scene, but broke off because of dangerous road conditions, police said. It was described as a late 1990s or early 2000 white Ford Explorer. On Tuesday, the suspect vehicle was sighted again in Normal and pulled over at 11:37 p.m. After a subsequent investigation, the 17-year-old boy was arrested and transported to the McLean County Juvenile Detention Center in Normal to await a detention hearing. The man was taken to the McLean County Jail to await a bond hearing. The names of suspects charged as juveniles are not public record. The investigation is continuing with more arrests possible, police said. Anyone with information regarding this incident is asked to contact Detective Evan Henkel. The phone number is 309-888-5049. End of article. Divorces. The following divorces were recently finalized in McLean County. Circuit Court. Urey, Jeremy and Ann Urey. Hodges, Christine and Eric Hodges. Varsiag, Kelsey and Julio Nicolai Varsiag. Adkins, Cassandra and Adam Adkins. Pratt, Scott and Kelsey Pratt. Lolling, Alan and Janice Lolling. End of article. Area calendar. Registration Website Builder Boot Camp to be held from 7 till 8:30 p.m. on February 25th through the 28th. That's a Monday through a Thursday. At the Bloomington Library Community Room, adults and teens, registration is required. You should call 309-828-6093, 828-6093. Meet and greet for Deputy City Manager Billy Tyus, 5 till 6 p.m. today, the Council Chambers of the Bloomington City Hall. Native Voices Lecture, 6 till 7 p.m. tonight, at the Ames Library's Beckman Auditorium, Illinois Wesleyan University in Bloomington. The speaker is Illinois Wesleyan alum Keita Bourbon Shear. Tool Library Services Overview, 6:30 till 8 p.m. It says February, but not a date. At the Bloomington Library Community Room, the speaker is West Bloomington Revitalization Project Leader Armando Baez. End of article. Letters to the editor. Red Bird fans shouldn't boo. We have been Illinois State University men's basketball season ticket holders over 30 years. Something happened during the recent ISU Valparaiso game that we have never experienced before. Home fans booing the Redbirds. The Redbirds certainly weren't having their best game and were having a lackluster night both on offense and defense. However, these are young men who give their heart, soul, and hours upon hours to the basketball team. Booing them is not only unacceptable, but not something the ISU community should tolerate. Cheer, moan, groan, and sigh. But booing is not what a Redbird fan does. Joe and Brooke Boyd of Normal. Building permits. Catalyst Construction, Inc. of Bloomington was issued a permit on February 5th for $950,000 construction of a new dental office and demolition of an existing parking lot at 2708 East Lincoln. Westminster Village, Inc. of Bloomington was issued a permit on February 5th for $85,000 to remodel a condominium at 103 Lily Lane. Snow Construction Services, LLC of Hayworth, was issued a permit January 31st for $51,000 to repair 10 damaged steel building columns at 2439 South Main Street in Bloomington. There were no permits for Normal. McLean County, TikTok Energy, Effingham, was issued a permit February 4th for $241,000 for installation of solar panels at 1829 North 700 East Road in McLean. End of article. Marriage licenses, McLean County, Anthony Patrick Dietz and Madison Ray Cloutey, both of Normal. End of article. Red flag laws take off after shooting. In the year since the deadly mass shooting at a Florida high school, more and more states have passed laws making it easier to take guns away from people who may be suicidal or bent on violence against others. Courts are issuing an unprecedented number of seizure orders across the country. Supporters say these red flag laws are among the most promising tools to reduce the nearly 40,000 suicides and homicides by firearm each year in the U.S. Gun advocates, though, say such measures undermine their constitutional rights and can result in people being stripped of their weapons on false or vindictive accusations. 9 states have passed laws over the past year allowing police or household members to seek court orders, requiring people deemed threatening to temporarily surrender their guns, bringing the total to 14. Several more are likely to follow in months ahead. More than 1,700 orders allowing guns to be seized for weeks, months, or up to a year were issued in 2018 by courts after they determined individuals were a threat to themselves or others, according to data from several states obtained by the Associated Press. The laws gained momentum after it was learned that the young man accused in the Florida attack, Nicholas Cruz, was widely known to be mentally troubled, yet had access to weapons, including the assault-style rifle used to kill 17 students and staff members last Valentine's Day at Parkland's Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School. Quote, Parkland would never have happened if Florida had a red flag law, Linda Beigel Schumann said during a recent news conference, end quote, with New York Governor Andrew Cuomo, who is expected to sign his state's new law any day. Her son, Scott Beigel, was a teacher and coach killed during that Parkland attack. Florida passed a red flag package as part of a gun control package in the wake of the shooting. Aside from New York, Delaware, Illinois, Maryland, Massachusetts, New Jersey, Rhode Island, and Vermont also have adopted variations since then. California, Connecticut, Indiana, Oregon, and Washington already had similar laws. Several states are debating them this year, including New Mexico, where 2 students were killed in a school shooting in December of 2017. Mike Heal, police chief in the town of Aztec, responded to that shooting at the local high school and testified in support of the red flag proposal, saying, I know I cannot keep everyone safe, but give me the tools to try. The laws are being invoked frequently in many of the states which have them. Authorities in Maryland granted more than 300 petitions to temporarily disarm individuals in 3 months after the state's law went into effect on October 1st. Montgomery County Sheriff Darren Popkin said the cases included 4 significant threats of school shootings and that a majority of the people who were subjects of the orders were suffering from mental health crises. Florida courts granted more than 1,000 orders in the first 9 months of its new law. Broward County, which includes Parkland, has been at the forefront, accounting for roughly 15% of cases statewide. End of article. State law may derail scooter program, Normal. A potential Twin Cities scooter rental program could spin out due to state regulations. Normal is considering adding electric scooters to its Bike Share 309 initiative as soon as this year, but that may not be possible depending how the low-speed vehicles fit into the Illinois Vehicle Code. Quote, the state law wasn't written in anticipation of this type of transportation. It is hard to see if these are clearly permitted, but we are working with other municipalities to see what they think too. There are not other programs in Illinois right now, said town planner Mercy Davison. We may actively try to change the state law or just wait for it to change. End quote. If electric scooters are classified as motor vehicles, each would need license plates and registration. Users would need licenses to drive. That would not be practical for the kind of rental program the town has in mind, said Davison. Normal is considering a one-season scooter rental pilot through Zagster, the Boston company which operates BikeShare 309, and San Francisco-based scooter company Spin. As many as 150 two-wheel motorized scooters would be available to rent without the physical stations bikes use. Quote, the software can draw geofences around areas where you want and don't want them to be parked or used, said Davison. That technology would also allow speed limits in specific areas which scooters would be programmed to obey. Davison said scooters are useful for customers and situations beyond what a bicycle can do. It hurts me as a bicyclist to say, but people think scooters are more fun, she said with a laugh. It's arguably harder to balance. If you're carrying things, it's more difficult. But it is very convenient for people trying to get from point A to point B in a non-complicated way. Davison said the program could be free for the town, which would pay Zagster and Spin a portion of user fees. The town pays Zagster $84,600 each year for BikeShare 309, plus 7% of rental proceeds under a three-year deal to expire next February. These programs are successful enough. They don't need a subsidy in the way bike share programs have in the past, Davison said. It's very possible a new contract for bicycles would look different from the one that we have right now. End quote. Davison said the town has been pleased with usage of BikeShare 309 that launched in 2017 with 9 Bloomington Normal stations. It had 3,189 rides on 47 bikes. In 2018, it had 12 stations, 3,327 rides with 47 bikes. Davison noted the town is including ISU in deliberations about adding scooters and extending BikeShare 309. Normal is using West Lafayette, Indiana, home of Purdue University, and another Zagster and Spin client as a model for development. Scott said the university, like the town, would be concerned about where scooters are left between rides, but he hopes a rental program could reduce car usage on campus and make it a more walkable environment. BikeShare 309 will resume service in mid-March after shutting down for the winter. The program lets adults use any mobile phone to rent a bicycle and return it to any local station. Quote, alternative transportation is very important to people of all ages, Scott said. And scooters happen to be one of those things our younger population gravitates to. The university is excited about providing different transportation opportunities for our students, visitors, faculty, and staff. End of article. Flick fact. Only one U.S. president has been a professional bartender as well. Was it Abe Lincoln, Ronald Reagan, Calvin Coolidge, or Barack Obama? Answer, it was actually Honest Abe. Along with a law partner, William Herndon, they owned two bars in downtown Springfield in the mid-1800s. Abe worked there occasionally, too, when the regular bartender was off. Abe, by the way, turns 210 tomorrow on Tuesday. End of article. This has been Susan Over reading to you from the first half of the Bloomington Pantograph. We will take a short break at this time.